In Crisis. From The Desert Storm. By Blue Sunshine. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 3. Rylor 4 was an agricultural moon in the Corellian sector. It had level landmasses, massive subterranean oceans, and 3 supervolcanoes. Typically a vibrant yellow-blue swirling with clouds, they could see from the transports the mass of gray-brown swallowing the eastern hemisphere, choking out the sun and all life below. Shakti looked to the team of senior padawans and young knights assigned to her, all specially chosen for this assignment. 1 Miralukan and 2 Togruta knights, a Mikian padawan and a Salonian padawan, rare as it was to see one of their species in the order. Each and every one came from a species with advanced capabilities of perception honed by their Jedi training. Shakti had been mid-transport when her orders changed from supervising padawans on the loading platforms to assembling a search and rescue team. Probation or not, someone had realized that directing traffic was a waste of her capabilities, one that they could ill afford. "We'll be settling down on the very edge of the Surveyor's safety zone. Keep your wits about you and never, ever let your partner out of your sight," Shakti informs them. "The first rule of rescue," she asks. "Never let yourself become another victim," Knight Lysa, a fellow Togruta huntress, replies. "Communicate anything you think you see, anything you think you hear or feel or sense before you act. We all need to be aware of each other. If we make mistakes, we have no backup until the other teams have cleared their own search grids."
"Padawan Kenobi!"
Obi-Wan flinches at the sudden sharp recall and stops in his tracks, turning to the speaker to find Master Rancisis hailing him. Obi-Wan trots over to the Thisbeasian counselor.
"There you are, yes!"
Master Rancisis nods to him, silver hair parting to reveal glimpses of his green-scaled skin.
"Have you been given an assignment yet?"
"No, Master," Obi-Wan replies. "I was delayed and I'm still looking for Knight Tusi's." Anakin had insisted he'd be able to help and had argued that Obi-Wan should take him to his mom instead of leaving him with the Initiate clan. Obi-Wan wasn't used to having to tell Anakin no. He hadn't cried, but the betrayed look on his face hurt worse.
"No matter. Knight Tusi's is your supervisor, I am hers. I want you to take charge of these 2 Initiates."
Rancisis turns, pointing to one of several pairs of older initiates.
"We were rather short-handed relying on junior padawans alone. The storeroom is quite massive, after all, and this is a large undertaking."
His S's trill slightly over his reptilian tongue.
"Yes, Master,"
Obi-Wan replies, hiding his uncertainty. He's a very junior padawan himself, having been apprenticed less than a year. Master Rancisis studies him a moment, as if sensing his unease, reptilian eyes closing and opening slowly.
"You have assisted your master in the direction of several initiate clans on their journeys to and from Elam, have you not? This makes you uniquely experienced," he states.
Obi-Wan blinks, never having thought of it like that.
"Yes, Master," he says more surely,
and the Thisbeasian master waves the 2 initiates over. A tiny Alina boy and a tan-skinned Deveronian girl with brown and white hair.
"Excellent," the master says. "Are your fingers quite dexterous?"
"Master?"
Obi-Wan questions, puzzled.
"I'm assigning you and your partners to packing. The padawans on collection duty will bring the supplies to you, and you will ensure each bundle contains what it ought to."
He hands Obi-Wan a data pad, which appears from a hidden pocket on the master's draping robes.
"There are standardized lists for such occurrences as this, but don't hesitate to add a small thing or two. Refugees have so very little, after all."
"Yes, Master,"
Obi-Wan replies, glancing at the datapad and pleased to find that it contains a map marked with their designated duty area.
"Thank you."
He bows.
"No, Padawan Kenobi, thank you. Now off with you. There is much we have yet to do."
Master Rancisis bows back. Obi-Wan turns to his companions.
"We have to go down 2 levels," he says. "I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi."
"Initiate Sui Choi,"
the blue Alina boy says formally, large green eyes very wide in his face. He's perhaps half Obi-Wan's size, but moves much faster than humans tended to, having no trouble at all keeping up.
"Sian Jaisal," the Deveronian girl says, more subdued than her companion.
her iridescent blue eyes stray enviously to Obi-Wan's Padawan braid, and Obi-Wan notices that her tan skin is covered in a fine layer of soft orange fur. Dark circles mark her brow where a male Deveronian would have horns, and black freckles span the bridge of her cheeks and nose. Properly introduced, they weave through the somewhat scrambled groups of other Padawans, droids, and quartermaster's assistants and make their way to the lift. Obi-Wan can hear the thunder of the textile printers all fired up, printing out simple clothes in standard sizes in massive quantities, and they pass lines of Padawans squishing down and rolling up quilts and blankets from the collection.
"How'd you get your master to choose you?"
Sien asks quietly once the lift doors close between them and the noise. Sui darts a glance up, but then looks away, still listening intently.
"I didn't,"
Obi-Wan replies honestly. "I'd given up, really, but we weren't even properly introduced, and he just asked me."
"Oh."
Sien Jaezel sighs, slumping a little.
"I tried to fight for it,"
Obi-Wan says, understanding exactly how she and Choi must feel.
"I even begged. I thought if I try harder, if I do this, if I just keep asking, but..."
He shakes his head.
"No, that worked. There isn't any trick to it, it's just... the will of the Force," she asks sourly. "There's nothing wrong with me," she says,
far more certain of herself than Obi-Wan still sometimes felt.
"But no knight even looks my way. And I've only got a few months left. I don't know what else to do with my life, you know? Most initiates have an idea of which core they'll go into if they aren't chosen, but I just... nothing fits. I'm meant to be a Jedi."
"Yeah," Obi-Wan says as the lift stops. They file out.
"They assigned me to the Agri Corps, and I thought, I'm not a farmer. I like plants well enough. My master has some really neat ones in our quarters, but it just wasn't right."
"Then why does it happen?" she protests, following him closely, while Tsui Choi bounces just a pace ahead of them.
"Don't we deserve a real chance to try, instead of just being shipped off? We can't even go to the Almas Temple after they refuse us here, and the Almas will take older students, just not rejected ones."
"It just happens," Obi-Wan sighs. "You're right, and I agree with you, it isn't fair. I can't fix it for you, Sien, I'm sorry." She takes a deep breath, releasing some of her stress and tension.
"No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have just thrown that at you."
"I understand," Obi-Wan shrugs. "And it's okay if you feel mad at me. It's not personal. I just got lucky." He offers her a sympathetic look, and her luminescent eyes shine a bit.
"Yeah," she says, "thanks. But still, regardless of what happens tomorrow..."
She draws herself up, the Force almost shimmering in the air around her as she draws in her resolve, like rain in sunshine.
"Today I'm still a Jedi, and we have work to do."
She bumps his shoulder companionably, and Obi-Wan nods, jostling her in return.